Friends, there is nothing more important than prayer, prevailing prayer, praying through. We know it. Why don't we do it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What does it mean to pray through? What does it mean to prevail in prayer? Why does Jesus give us parables about the importance of persisting in prayer and being bold in prayer? Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Last week, I played a special broadcast that we had first played back in September of last year, A Call to Prayer. It got a terrific response back then. It got a terrific response last week. But as I was praying and thinking about the show for today, this Tuesday, where we focus on teaching, on the scriptures, on theology, on apologetics, I felt that we needed to press forward in prayer together, and that I wanted to encourage you and to exhort you to press in more deeply in prayer. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. The number to call to get in on today's discussion, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And you can connect with us through our website, askdrbrown.org. I'll tell you about some resources we put up there. You've got to see these. You've got to hear these, read these for yourselves, and they are available on our brand new website, AskDrBrown.org. Look, let's face it. We need divine intervention. Let's face it. There is no human solution to the problems at hand. Now, on a certain level, that's always true. Human sin has no human solution. Human sin cannot be remedied by our best efforts. But there are times when it seems as if things can be turned if enough people do the right thing. Society can be turned if enough people vote the right way or you have certain leaders in place. And yes, we all have to do what we know how to do. Yes, it's important to have the right people leading in government and in various other parts of our society. And yes, there's no telling what can happen through one person standing up for righteousness, but things are such in our society, the state of so much of the church, the state of so much of the world, the deterioration of so much of the family, that it's clear that we must have divine visitation. It's clear we must have an outpouring of spiritual rain, and that can only happen in response to prayer. There is no human way to make this happen on its own. What are some of the reasons that we don't pray as we should? What do you think? Give me a call, 866-348-7884. I want today's broadcast to be as practical as possible, as inspirational as possible. Perhaps this can be like if you ever played tug of war with your friends as a kid, and it's an even battle, and you're both pulling, and one side pulls a little further, the other side pulls a little further, but you can't win, and then two more people join each team, and one is just a little bit stronger than the other, and boom, suddenly you win. Perhaps today's broadcast can help push you through. Perhaps today's broadcast can motivate you to take hold of God in a fresh new way. Perhaps today's broadcast can be the thing to spark a fresh fire in you to believe God and to pray through. When we come back, I want to talk about that concept of praying through. And I want to talk to you about what are some of the reasons that we don't pray as we should. 866-348-7884. Prayer to change the world starts with you and me.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. We are absolutely serious about revolution here on this broadcast. We are absolutely serious about seeing America rocked with the gospel. Oh, no. We are not trying to take over society. No, we are not trying to overthrow the government. No. We are not stockpiling arms. Actually, we're talking about something far more radical. We're talking about a Jesus revolution. We're talking about pulling down ideological strongholds with the power of the Spirit and the truth of the gospel. Come on. We're talking about rocking this world through the name of Jesus and through changed lives and through setting captives free and through a message of liberation and transformation. We don't fight the way the world fights. We fight, but not the way the world fights. We don't use anger. We don't use hatred. We don't use intimidation. We don't use weapons, guns and knives and bombs. We don't think by a mass protest we're going to change the world. No, we make our appeal to God. We may voice our views on the street. We may make our views known to the government as witnesses. But our great appeal is alone with God on our knees, crying out to the one who made the universe, saying, God, move. God, act. I think of the believers in the book of Acts, 866-348-7884. I think of the believers in the book of Acts. They experienced persecution. They knew it was coming. Their master had been crucified. They were told exactly what to expect. And now the persecution had begun. So what did they do? Did they start a petition drive and put together letters to Rome or to the Jewish leadership? No, they didn't. Now, there are times to do that as witnesses, to speak up for righteousness and to call the government to account. I'm not downplaying that. I've signed petitions myself. At times, I've even circulated something saying, hey, can we speak to this organization and let them know where we stand because they want to know? But that is so far down the list in terms of what we do and who we are. Look at what they did. The believers, after being persecuted and threatened, they lifted their voices together to God, Acts 4. And they said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in the city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, O Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. What an instructive prayer. They cry out to God. Why? Because God is the one who can change lives, and God is the one who can save the lost, and God is the one who gives all authority in heaven and on earth so that nothing can stop the forward movement of the gospel. Now, notice, they didn't pray for protection. Isn't that instructive? They didn't pray for protection. They prayed for boldness. They asked God to give them boldness to speak, not for protection as they spoke. Paul prayed for an open door and to be delivered from the hands of the evil one so that he could fulfill his mission. He knew ultimately he would pay for it with his life. They prayed for boldness. Give us boldness. Look on their threats, Lord. You know what to do. You look on their threats. That's your business. We're not cursing our enemies. Look on their threats and give us boldness to continue to proclaim Jesus. And you do what only you can do and stretch forth your hand to perform signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. And look at this. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word, or continued to speak the word with boldness. Is that not very instructive? We pray for boldness, and God fills us with the Spirit to speak and works miracles through us to the honor and glory of Jesus' name, and the place is literally shaken. The great prayer warrior and revivalist Leonard Ravenhill once wrote that the difference between the early church and today's church is when they prayed, the place was shaken. When we paid, the place was taken. Oh, there's nothing wrong with paying and having a building, but we may have money. We don't have power. They may not have had a lot of money at first, but they had power. Friends, when we talk about praying through, what we often mean is praying until we get the answer, persevering until the breakthrough comes, not letting go and not letting up. That can be in the course of one night where you're so desperate, you shut yourself in alone with God. Maybe the kids have gone to sleep. Maybe you're able to break away from other responsibilities. Maybe you're able to cancel a non-essential appointment, and you get alone with God and you pray, and you feel like you hit a wall, and you feel like God's a million miles away, but you have to have an answer, and you stay there, and you stay there. It may take an hour, it may take two, it may take six, but you pray until you pray through, and until you have the assurance that the breakthrough has come. Or praying through may happen over a period of time, like the parable in Luke 18, where Jesus teaches that people should pray always and not faint, not cave in, not lose heart. Keep asking. You didn't get the answer? Keep asking. You didn't get the answer? Keep asking. Lord, here I am again. Well, that's an echoey sounding desk, isn't it? Here, let's try this. Oh, it's still echoey sound. All right, I'm going to have to get, Joey, we need a knocking sound at some point. We don't need it today. Don't worry about it. But something better than my echoey sounding desk. But you knock and you knock and you knock and you don't get an answer. You come back to, it could be 5 minutes a day. Lord, here, Lord, we need a breakthrough. We're pressed against the wall. Only you can answer. But and then we pray and the breakthrough comes. It is so special. Some of you are nodding. I can see your faces nodding. Many of you I met in New York last week, and I can see your faces nodding and smiling when you've had the assurance of the answer before anything changed around you. You've heard me quote it before. Let me quote it again, the words of S.D. Gordon. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. Why then don't we pray as we could, as we should? 866-348-7884, Robert in Dumont, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to weigh in on this exact topic. I know from my perspective, I've evangelized for many years, but I'm also, I'm just a lay evangelist, so I have a full-time job and a family. And I think to answer your question most directly, we are, the people who are out there doing the regular work and fundraising, they're drowning in the stress and the pace of it all. And the prayers we have are short, direct, to the point, and not necessarily prayers in the framework as either the Lord's Prayer or, as you had just mentioned, that other people may hear the gospel, that we may go out and preach with clarity. I know I've prayed that many times, but recently I'm just struggling day to day. The kind of prayers I would pray for would be more like asking God to be a genie to solve problems for me of money and things, and I don't see any example of that in the book of Acts, where the apostles were basically all killed for the faith, and the disciples after them throughout the Colosseums and whatnot. So it's almost like I'd be embarrassed to make those prayers known to God.
You raise an important point, of course. James, Jacob, chapter 4, it says this, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Now, I have no problem when I have legitimate needs going to God. The Lord tells us to cast our cares upon him and to pray, give us this day our daily bread, part of the Lord's Prayer. But I'm also doing it with a consciousness, Robert, that as I am strong and free of these daily responsibilities, I can all the more focus on doing God's work, and then I can be a resource for others. But you're absolutely right. A lot of our praying is just for ourselves, for the fulfillment of our personal desires, or to get us out of ditches that we've personally dug. It's better to be praying for the kingdom purposes to be fulfilled through each of us. Thanks for the call. A whole lot more to come, plus a wonderful audio clip from a 3-year-old when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focusing on the power of prayer, prevailing in prayer, praying through, and talking about why it is that we don't pray as we should, as we could, talking about why prayer is often the greatest deficit that we have as believers, even though it is the greatest opportunity and in God power that we have. 866-348-7884. I want to encourage you, edify you, challenge you, strengthen you today, and hopefully inspire you to pray more effectively and to pray in greater faith. Now, before I go back to the phones, I want to share with you that we have completely updated my Ask Dr. Brown website as a portal for all the different ministry work we do. Almost every day, we're adding either a new article or a new video or a new audio clip. I'm writing a new blog, and it's the one place to go, user-friendly, askdrbrown.org. Make sure you visit there today, all right? Only excuse for not going there is if you don't use internet, but go there today, askdrbrown.org, all right? And explore the site. Well, I want you in particular to do two things. One, click on the latest video. We put this together yesterday. My producer, Matt, worked on it through the night. We just walk you into our new building and into my studio, and for the first time ever, you can get to see a live video clip of me speaking to you on radio. It was from yesterday's show, in fact. So just click on the latest video, all right? That's askdrbrown.org. Click on the latest video. Then after you do that, then go and click on the latest blog. Actually, there are a few things I wrote you'll find interesting. One is called Shouldn't Grace Make Us Nice? Another is How You're Ministering Healing to the Brokenhearted. But the top one you'll see when you click on the latest blog, you can't just, it's right there on the website. You can't miss it. You can't miss it. It's the cutest story. It's the pictures behind the scenes. One of our former students has her kids, 5-year-old girl, 3-year-old boy, grown up listening to the Line of Fire. And there's a picture of how she has to set things up in the kitchen to be able to listen on computer. It's very cute. And her 3-year-old boy likes to play the announcer, and then he's joined by his 5-year-old sister. So when you go to the website, you'll see the pictures of the kids holding up signs, and you can click on this audio. But let's hear what our new announcer to the Line of Fire sounds like.
It's time for the Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Send the fire.
All right. If you'd like to get your kids on the air, and they got to be regular listeners, though, then you could send in your audio clips as well. Just send them in to us at the website, askdrbrown.org. So you'll see the pictures behind that as well. When you click on the latest article, you'll find out not everyone is so happy to hear about the salvation of a 97-year-old Jewish woman. That's the latest article. And then every day, the latest audio. We'll have each day's radio show. You can click right there to listen. And then we'll be putting together highlights of each radio broadcast, 10, 15-minute highlights of each show. So if you happen to miss a day and want to find out what was happening before you listen to the whole, we'll be having those. And We've gotten suggestions about an improved picture for me for the website. That will be happening as well. AskDrBrown.org. And when you visit, please like the site on Facebook or share it on Twitter. Will you do that? All right, to the phones. Mark in Maplewood, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
I was just going to answer just thoughts on your question about prayer.
Yeah, please.
And I think one of the reasons why a lot of people may not pray or think that their prayers are futile, one is that you have to establish that relationship with God. And it's not something that's going to come overnight. And I think relationship is key. Because I look at, what strikes me most, and you touched on it a little bit a while ago, when you're talking about, the biggest thing that Jesus said to his disciples when they were in the garden is to sit and pray with me. And that right there is that is a food, that is a fire, or the spark that lights everything. That's the ignition, that's the communication link constantly between you and the Father. And I think the relationship part is the first thing. A lot of us may not have that genuine relationship. And I think of the woman who went out to Jesus and who walked through the crowd who was bleeding. And even though she was cast out as someone who should not be there because of her infirmity of bleeding, but she had so much faith and she had that internal relationship with God that she was healed. And I think the key thing in my eyes is that relationship. And that's what I would ask myself. How often is that relationship there? And what do I do to keep it, to stay committed to it and stay obedient and faithful to that relationship?
Yeah, and here's the whole thing, which is so interesting. You know, there's such a thing as a vicious circle. This is actually the exact opposite. This is a glorious circle. Because quality time spent with God in prayer enhances our relationship, deepens our relationship. Look, relationships take time and they take focus. Any happily married couple will tell you that's the key. Relationships take time and they take focus. So as we spend focused time alone with the Lord, and as we spend quality time with Him in different settings, that deepens our relationship. So relationship is deepened through prayer on the one hand. At the same time, when you flip it around, prayer is enhanced by relationship. And Mark, what comes to mind for me is John chapter 15, where Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask what you will and it'll be done, because we're in harmony with the Father. Absolutely. All right, friends, phone lines are lit up. I want to hear from as many of you as possible. Remember, if you can only listen for the next few minutes now, just go to our website, click on AskDrBrown.org, and then latest audio, you'll be able to listen to this broadcast as soon as it's put online in full. We want to equip you. We want to help you be world changers. I have in my hands a book, Revolution, the Call of Holy War, that lays out how we are to follow Jesus, the radical call and the radical impact we will have, with quotes that will rock your world. Along with that, on a 5x7 card to put in the Revolution book or to put in your Bible or whatever book you're reading, the 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. What do I do? How do I do it? Where do I start? Step by step, 10 simple commitments you can all keep. I'd love to get this into the hands of 100 million people today, but we'll start with each of you. Your gift of any size, we're eager to send these out to as many of you as possible. So call right now. The book and the 5x7 card, they'll rock your world and they'll help ignite you to do the will of God. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. As always, God is near to the brokenhearted. Look to Him in your need. He will not disappoint.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Prayer, the lifeline that we have to God, the direct connection that we have to God, the most powerful resource in the universe and the most underutilized resource in the universe. I want to encourage you today, as we spoke on prayer last week and talked about it during the show, I want to encourage you today, but I'll be taking calls as well. What is it that stops us from praying? What is it that hinders us in prayer? 866-348-7884. I think of the parables. I think of the exhortations Jesus gave. I think of the example he set. I think of those in Scripture who prayed and didn't faint, and didn't quit, and didn't lose heart, and didn't give up. And I know that's available for each of us. And I was in a meeting a few weeks ago after this, the message was preached. We were encouraged to search our hearts, and if there was sin, if there was something wrong, to deal with it before the Lord. And I examined my life and I thought the number one issue right now is prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. That I have not adequately given myself to God in prayer on a consistent enough level in recent months. Andrew Murray encouraged, confess it as sin. Confess it as sin and say, God, I need your help. Others who were great prayer warriors of the past discovered taking hold of the prayer life of Jesus because he ever lives to make intercession for us and taking hold of that and saying, Lord, join me with your son in prayer. Just as you join me with him in righteousness and given me a new nature, so it's not my nature to sin the way I used to sin. I'm a new creation. Join me with the nature of your son in prayer. What is it that stops us from praying? 866-348-7884. Carl in Newark, New Jersey. Thank you, Carl, for calling the line of fire.
Thank you. In response to your question, I look at my own personal reasons why I don't pray. I wasn't praying like I should. And even I think it even says in Psalm 119, it was good that I was afflicted. I had an accident that put me in the bed, and it was at that time that I started to pray constantly. And when you read that one passage in Psalms, I think affliction and some of the problems that have us in certain places press us to pray. And I think that, you know, God does that to press us to pray. He doesn't do it to everybody all the time because we should be doing it. But, you know, for those of us, and God loves everybody, I think sometimes the positions that we're in press us to pray. And a lot of people aren't in those positions. They have things going wrong. But sometimes when you are hanging off of a cliff and no one is around and the branch is breaking, you will constantly pray. If, you know, you just need some money to payday, maybe that's not enough to make you press your way through. But when you are hanging by a cliff, you will press your way through, and it is prayer that will keep you in those afflictions that will keep you praying like you should.
Yeah, it's a shame that often it takes something like that. It's a shame that it often takes that kind of extreme pressure to get us to pray in extreme ways.
Yes.
And it's true that the problem is, if we don't have a serious relationship with the Lord, this is not something we can turn on and turn off. So let's take Carl's word of wisdom here, and let's pray before the emergency comes, so that when the emergency comes, we'll be in communion with God and ready to bring about change. We come back. I want to share some precious prayer promises with you. Take your calls about overcoming hindrances to prayer right here on the Line of Fire.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. It's my goal on this show not simply to sound an alarm and to say the needs around us are great, but to say here is our God. Here is the one who is greater than any of these needs. Here is the one who is bigger than any of these situations. Here is the one who is able to do impossible things. 866-348-7884. We are focusing again on prayer. Last week, we aired a special call to prayer broadcast. I did not take calls during that. Today, I'm taking your calls and discussing with you what is it that hinders us from praying? Why is it that we know what it is to do? We know how to do it on a certain level, and yet we often fall so short here. We've been talking about praying through and prevailing in prayer. I asked the question yesterday, can we have awakening in America without persecution? The overwhelming number of comments I received on Facebook and of calls we were able to take over 2 full hours yesterday suggested that it's highly unlikely that the church in America will awaken from slumber without persecution. Not only so, others suggested, rightly I believe, that when God does move, that in itself will trigger persecution. Again, I agree with those statements. The bottom line, though, is that persecution in itself will not bring awakening. Ultimately, what brings awakening is God sending awakening, and God responds to the prayers and cries of his people. I believe he puts it in our hearts to pray, and then we respond. It's always a joint effort, and the initiative is always taken from God's perspective. And he's given us his promises and set things in motion through what his son did on the cross and rising from the dead and sending the Spirit and drawing all people to himself through the cross. But if we will pray, God will answer. Perhaps it's the persecution, the opposition that drives us to our knees, because one of the greatest reasons we don't pray is because we seem self-sufficient. Hey, look at the size of our churches. Hey, look at the size of our budgets. Hey, look at our best-selling books. Hey, look at our TV radio ministries. Hey, look at our, Christian elected officials and Christian CEOs and Christian athletes. The fact of the matter is, we must cry out to God because those things in themselves are not going to change anything. They are not going to change the world one bit. That's an overstatement. Yes, they can have their influence and impact, but we must have a supernatural move of God that can only come through God moving in answer to prayer. To the phones, Linda in Montgomery County, Maryland, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, and thank you for the respect and humility that you give to the callers and everyone you meet in your ministry. It comes through. Well, what I wanted to relate, Dr. Brown, was this friend of the church that I was going to before. I had been estranged from a family member for over 40 years, one that I didn't even really know. And at any rate, because it went back to my real, young life. And so anyhow, she was in my living room, and we were praying for this. And she is one who really studied the Word and had the Scriptures Rhema in her spirit. She put them on cards, and I could just tell. I thought, gee, after we prayed for it, then she prayed for it in different words. So she was incorporating the Word, and she was giving it back to the Lord in faith, believing. And you know, that reunion of that person and that knew that man, that at that point a middle-aged man, and this person contacted me that knew them 25 years. I hadn't been in touch, and they called that same week. So we all had a reunion within the year in Silver Spring. And I could just tell she was praying it through,
Yeah, Linda, when you mention incorporating the Word into our prayer, that's the thing we know ultimately is the unshakable rock. That's the thing we know ultimately is utterly reliable. You know, you may have something in your heart you believe God's spoken to, and it can be so real to you, but it can never be as real as what is written in Scripture.
That's right.
And when you can hold God to that, when you can go back to the Word and say, God, you promised. And in fact, it's good to rehearse the promises, to go to the Lord and say, Jesus, you yourself said, everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks knocks, he who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door is open. You yourself told us to ask and to seek and to knock. You yourself told us that if we would look to the Lord, if we would turn to him, Jesus, you yourself told us that this would be like a father giving a good thing to his child, that if a child came to the father and said, can I have bread? The father's not going to give him a stone. And if the child said, can I have a fish? The father's not going to give him a snake. Jesus says to us, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Go to the promises, friends. Dig out the precious promises in the Word about prayer, the exhortations to prayer, the words like God gave to Jeremiah, call to me and I'll answer you and show you great mighty things which you don't know. You say, well, that was a specific word to Jeremiah. True. But the fact of the matter is, it was words like that resound through the ages to us and reverberate through the ages. And we take hold of those very words and we say, God, I'm calling out to you. I'm asking you to do things to glorify Jesus. I'm asking you to do things so that the world will see and know that you are the living God. I'm asking you to do what only you can do. Lord, only you can not just silence the mouths of the atheists, but reveal yourself to the atheists. Lord, you're not only the one who can break down the iron curtain and the bamboo curtain and the Islam curtain and every other curtain or wall. You're the one that can touch these people. Lord, you're not only the one who can save me from death. You're the one who can give me a reason to live and a purpose. God, answer. God, move. And if we will pray according to his will and pray in faith and when needed, persist in prayer, we will see answers come. I want to encourage you, dear listeners, every city where you find yourself right now across America and in other nations, I want to strongly encourage you to renew your life in prayer, to dig those wells of prayer deeper in your own life. Maybe you had a place by the bedside where the carpet was worn, where your knees would touch. Get back in those grooves there and wear them out some more. Maybe stuck in traffic, long drives, used to have a wonderful habit in prayer, and now you find yourself not even listening to Christian radio like this where you're being stirred, but just listening to secular music. All right, get stirred on Christian radio and then go back to prayer. Oh, God, he is near to the brokenhearted. He loves to answer. He delights in answering his people. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. 866-348-7884. Let's go to the phones with Neil in Miami. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.
Amen.
You know, you ask the question, you know, what hinders our prayers sometimes, and I know for myself, I've been struggling for many years, honestly. And, you know, there have been times when, you know, I've been praying and praying and praying. And, you know, I'm not sure if I'm praying for the wrong things or I'm not sure if I'm praying outside of his will. And then sometimes I just get weak and it's like, well, you know, I prayed all the last month. I prayed 3 months. I prayed 4 months. And I didn't see the things that I was asking for. And I don't really know what's going on. So I start sliding and, you know, it gets to the point where it's just maybe thank you, God, for providing this or thank you, Jesus, for providing that. And it's and that certainly hinders it because, you know, it's it's a long struggle, and I don't know what to say. Only thing I can ask Jesus is, what does he want from me? You know, what does he want from me? And that's
Tell you what, I want you to keep listening on the other side of the break. We'll be back in a moment, and I want to directly address your question, because your situation is the exact same one that many others have found themselves in. So stay right with us, Neil, and we'll talk about your situation. Many find themselves in the same place, get discouraged, don't see answers, prayer life begins to fail. What do you do? We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to this broadcast on The Line of Fire, focusing specially on prayer. You say, didn't you focus on prayer a week ago? You bet. We could focus on prayer every day for the next 10 years and not exhaust the subject or not exhaust the importance of the subject. But we're talking in particular today about praying through, prevailing in prayer, or what some have called prevailing prayer, the prayer that overcomes, the prayer that breaks through, the prayer that does not quit until the answer comes, the prayer that can literally change nations. 866-348-7884. We're also talking about hindrances to prayer. Hindrances to prayer. So Neil in Miami, speaking with Neil before the break, and I asked him just to hold, to keep listening through the break. You pray for a week, for a month, for several months. You're praying for answers, and you don't seem to get answers, and then you get discouraged, then your prayer life breaks down. What do you do? Let me propose a completely different way of looking at this. Pray first, Neil, to spend time with God. Pray first to commune with him. Pray first to be in his presence. I was listening to a song written by a worship leader and songwriter, Catherine Mullins. Nancy and I were coming back from some meetings where Catherine had led the worship and I had spoken, and we were listening to a kind of contemplative worship CD that she put out. And the first song begins with, I'm going to take a little time. And it's to stay in the presence of the Lord until I become like the one I behold. So the very first reason you want to pray, Neil, is to spend time with God, to build relationship with him, to tell the Lord how you're feeling and what's going on in your life, to express your love and devotion to him, to thank him for who he is, and then to pray for the large purposes of God. Neil, you'll be praying for those until the day you see him face to face. You'll be praying for those for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 70 years. Because until Jesus comes, those are the prayers that we have to be praying. So I want to encourage you to commune with the Lord in prayer, to fellowship with him in prayer, to cast your burdens on him. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've prayed. I had a laundry list of issues, problems that I had no solution to, that I was burdened down with, and I cast them on the Lord one after another, after another, after another, after another. And when I was done, I felt peace. I felt grace. You say, did you have guidance? No. Did you have answers? No. But I knew they were safely in God's hands and that he was reliable, and I had nothing whatsoever to fear or be concerned with. So pray first. Relationally, sometimes I'll pray the word. As I'm reading the word, I'll take it and get on my knees alone with God and pray over what I'm reading. Lord, these verses are difficult. I don't know how to live up to this. Father, I don't understand this. Lord, help me to live this out and to be this. Pray the word, commune with God in prayer. And then if you are spirit-filled, if you pray in the spirit, do that. I'll pray in the spirit for extended periods of time myself. sometimes burdens are great, and I find myself just groaning and crying under the burden without even articulating words, but the burden is very, very intense in my life. And then bring your requests, petitions to him. And as you do, first, the more time you spend with him in communion, the more time you want to spend with him, the more you enjoy spending time with him. And on top of that, as you pray and commune with the Lord, your desires get into greater harmony with his. That's why it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. As I quote in the last segment of John 15, where it says that if we remain united with him and his words remain united with us, we'll ask what we will and it'll be done. Why? Because we're in harmony with him. And continue to pray until answers come. The big things, Neil, in my life, the major promises, some of them I've prayed for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years before I've seen the answer come. There have been people I've prayed for decades that I've not yet seen the answer for. But I think of what George Mueller said. Halfway through his life and ministry, he had recorded 5,000 instantaneous answers to prayer. 5,000. And yet there were people he had prayed for every day for 50 years who were not saved. And he said, someone asked him, doesn't it discourage you that you prayed all these years for these people and they haven't been saved yet? He said, oh no, the exact opposite. How much more can I be confident that prayers I prayed every day for 50 years will be answered if I've seen so many answered instantaneously? And many things I've prayed for in terms of being used by God, I've seen happen incrementally as he's trusted me on different levels and increased the platform and voice and ministry and reach that we have. Good things take time, Neil. Don't be a quitter. Persevere to the end and build a solid relationship with the Lord, and you will never be disappointed. And friends, obviously, I wasn't just speaking to Neil. I was speaking to every one of you who find yourself in a similar situation, as well as exhorting myself. Let me read a quote to you from my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War. It's yours, together with another special gift for your gift of any size. I say this, on that great day of accounting, we will stand before God, not our professors, not our accrediting agency, not our board of regents. We must bow down to God, no God but him, regardless of the cost. That is how idolatry is defeated. I said this after a chapter on the power of anointed music. What a glorious prospect. Our meetings filled with the presence and power of God as holy music blends with powerful truth and ascends like incense to the throne. Prophetic messengers shaping the consciousness of a young, disillusioned generation, their message carried by music that will never be forgotten. These are the sounds of the coming revolution. If you listen well, you might hear them now. And all of this is birthed in prayer. We want to get this out. Oh, if I get this to a million believers in America overnight, it'd be a dream come true. But I want to get it to every one of you listening right now. My book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, it's the Jesus way to change the world, along with a 5x7 card, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Practical, simple, clear. You'll put this in your Bible or in this revolution book, whatever book you're reading. Look at it every day and act on it. You'll be changed and you'll see things change around you. Your gift of any size, stand with us, be as generous as you can. Become a monthly supporter if you feel prompted to do so. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, our infinite and eternal, all-powerful God is stretching out his hands to us and saying, come and ask. Come and seek, come and find, come and receive. Friends, there is nothing more important than prayer, prevailing prayer, praying through. We know it. Why don't we do it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's picture this scene. Jesus himself walks into our room. Once we pick ourselves off the floor as he bids us to do so and sit overwhelmed with tears streaming down our cheeks, he asks us, "Do you trust me?" "Yes, Lord, we do. I do." He says, "Do you believe I can do what I've promised you?" "Yes, Lord, I believe that." And then he says, "Then why don't you ask me?" Oh, what a question. What a question. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Last week, we focused an entire show on a call to prayer, and I didn't take your calls. Today, I'm taking calls and talking through what is it that stops us from praying? What is it that hinders us from praying? Because there's nothing more powerful we can do than pray. There's nothing more powerful we can do than touch God, the God who can do anything and everything. 866-348-7884. It's Tuesday. We focus on a teaching-related subject on Tuesdays. We focus on a doctrinal issue or a theological controversy or an apologetic issue or just deepening your knowledge of the Word and love for the Word, helping equip you to make a difference. And as I was praying about the show today, I really felt we were to go the way of helping to provoke you in prayer. Is there a promise in Scripture that you particularly love? Every so often, I haven't done this for months and months, but if you want to call and just read that promise, just read that scripture or quote it from memory, and just do that, I'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884. Just call and just read the verse to us or quote it from memory to exhort us. If you are conscious of something that has stopped you from praying or hindered others from praying, what is it? What is it that hinders us from prayer? I remember having a conversation with a rabbi one time, and he had seen, I was a new believer, he had seen the radical changes in my life. He had seen how I went from being a lost drug user. He didn't know me then, but he knew me on the other side as a believer, and he saw the passion and the hunger and the thirst and desire for the Lord, and he saw the intimacy I had with God, and it was something, even though he thought I was wrong, he knew it was different than what he himself experienced as a conservative rabbi. And I remember after one of our conversations thinking about prayer and having an imaginary conversation with him about prayer and him saying to me, "So Mike, I've been reading the New Testament and Jesus promises this and this and this and this and this. Do you believe it?" "Yeah." And I see how he says, "If you pray, this and this and this will happen. Do you believe it?" "Yeah." "Well, then you must just be praying day and night and asking for this and asking for this and asking for this and asking for this. Not for me, but for others and for the glory of God. Mike, you must be praying in all these different ways and seeing God moving in all these different ways." I remember thinking, it's available, but I'm not taking advantage of it. By taking advantage of it, I mean take advantage of the promises he has given so that his kingdom purposes will be fulfilled. Look at it like this. America is suffering from terrible famine and drought. People are dying of starvation in the streets. We need an outpouring of rain so that crops can grow and we can have a harvest again. And all we have to do is shut ourselves into God and pray. But instead, we're running down the street going 20, 30 miles because we've heard there's a cup of water somewhere. It doesn't make sense to go to the one who can send the rain. Prepare to be encouraged today on The Line of Fire.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast. Hey, Joey, grab that audio clip again when you have a moment. Something really cute. I posted it on my new blog. I had a blog last year. I used a little, but we didn't have it adequately connected with our website, so it got kind of neglected. But I'm basically posting something just about every day or a couple things a day. There's one that's absolutely adorable. You've got to see the pictures involved and the little lives behind this story. But go to AskDrBrown.org, my totally revamped website with a new and improved picture of me coming soon for the front page. But the homepage, new and improved, everything totally accessible just at the click of a mouse or touch with your finger on your cell phone. You want to read my latest article. You want to see the latest video. You want to read the latest blog post, hear the latest audio. Boom, right there at your fingertips. AskDrBrown.org. So one of our former students, her boy is 3, girl is 5, and they've grown up listening to The Line of Fire, and she found that her little guy started to play the role of the announcer, and then older sister would join in singing. So you actually get to see the pictures behind this if you go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest blog. But let's just hear... Here are the new announcer for the Line of Fire broadcast.
It's time for the Line of Fire with your host, Michael Brown. Send the fire.
There you go. I played it last hour, and I just got such a kick out of that. Maybe because it's my own broadcast, and it's one of our former students and her family, and her husband recorded that, but... If you think your kids, they're regular listeners, and they'd like to apply for the announcer role or maybe the theme song role, they're singing it out, send it in. Send it in. Maybe we'll play some more of these. And also, would you like to see the studio I broadcast from? Would you like to see that one day? Would you like to see where our faithful producer sits and looks through the glass window at me? And then we connect remotely to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where our faithful engineer Joey and his team with Andrew and Johnny and others screen your calls and run the show. You can't see it. Hey, guys, you need to do a video for us, all right? And send it during the show. Show how hard you're working. But no, I don't want a parody. Not a parody laying there sleeping, all right? Just show how hard you're working, all the buttons you're pushing. So we got to include that as well. But friends, if you go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest video, you'll see behind the scenes, we just recorded this yesterday. You get to see me talking live on the air and just see what happened. We've never done this before. So go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the latest video. 866-348-7884. Do you think sometimes we don't pray the way that we could and should because of unbelief? Because we don't really think the Lord is going to answer? Do you think sometimes we don't pray as we could and should because we don't feel worthy, because we feel we've sinned and fallen short? I want to encourage you, friends, that God answers prayer based on His goodness, not our goodness. Now look, if we are living in persistent sin, that will break our fellowship with Him. And that will absolutely rob us of confidence in Him. But if we come in repentance and receive cleansing through the blood of Jesus, when we pray, it's as if the Son was asking. The Spirit of God's Son has been put in our heart. And when we pray and look to the Lord, it's as if He is praying and asking through us. So if your conscience is defiled, turn to the Lord, confess your sin. He'll wash you clean. But, no buts. He has promised to wash you clean. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In fact, the Greek says He's righteous to cleanse us and forgive us of our unrighteousness. He's righteous to do it because Jesus paid for it. So as you turn to Him, He will wash you. He will cleanse you. If you have to make something right with another person, do that. But he understands sometimes there's a process. While you're waiting for that process, while you're waiting for that person to respond to your email or your call or your letter, while you're waiting for the courts to resolve something as you've made things right, you can be right with God instantaneously. And with a clear conscience, you come before God and you appeal to him to act in accordance with his character, to act in accordance with his goodness. 866-348-7884. What are some of the reasons that we don't pray as we could or should, that we don't receive the promises? And is there a favorite scripture, a promise that you have? Today's a good day to share it. Let's go to the phones. Kelly in Des Moines, Iowa. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. The biggest thing that I have a hard time with consistent prayer, which, you know, I have been doing for the past 4 years consistently, is trying to have a child. And been married for 6 years and trying to have children for the past 4 years, and we both are just having a hard time and trying to be as faithful. I think what's hard is we kind of humanize our Lord Jesus. We humanize him because humans fail. You know, humans forget appointments. Humans are late. Humans forget to do something, turn off the lights, you know, go get groceries. Or, you know, they do things that are so human that I think our expectations of Jesus is say, well, he's probably too busy for us. He's probably forgotten about us. He probably just, you know, well, he's just, you know, why would I ask for something that, since there's so many people in this world that desperately need him more than I do, why should I be praying? You know, there's so many more people that he could be helping than just
my family. Yeah, Kelly, yeah, you need to completely cast that thinking away as 100% irrelevant to who God is. You're entirely right. It's completely humanizing him. You know, he even says in Isaiah 49 to his people Israel, but certainly applies to us. He asks the question, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she forget the child of womb? You'd expect the answer to be no. And he says, yes, she might forget, but I won't forget. Jesus reminds us that if an earthly father would give bread to his child who asked for bread and wouldn't give him a stone, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? So in point of fact, he delights in answering. He delights in showing mercy. He delights in doing good things. And the desire you have in your heart, you and your husband, for child is a good thing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. He's even spoken to the human race and said, be fruitful and multiply. You can say, Lord, that's us. We're part of that. We are part of that human race. He says in Psalm 127 that children are a heritage from the Lord. So you need to be confident that God, his goodness, desires to bless. And just think, if you God blesses you with a child and you have a second child and the first child thinks, well, I guess you don't love me as much anymore because you have to split your love between two. You say, no, you have all of my love. And just like you don't love your husband less when you have a child, in fact, there's even more joy of shared life together. So God's love is infinite. God's power is infinite. And do you mind if we pray with you right now, Kelly?
I don't mind at all.
Have doctors given you any reason? You don't have to get into details, but have they given you a medical reason why?
My husband is, he produces quite a bit of his manly stuff. it's just that they don't swim very well.
Got it. All right. For little kids, they have no idea what we're talking about. And for those who understand, they understand. So we especially need to pray for him. All right. I believe this is something so easily answered by the Lord. So friends, let's listen together with great expectation that we're going to hear from Kelly. And Kelly, just to build your faith, I'm no miracle worker, but this is a prayer we've prayed for many people and many times seen miraculous answers. So Father, in Jesus' name, we speak to Kelly and her husband and say, be fruitful and multiply. We speak blessing to them. We speak fertility. We speak multiple children, that they can delight in this special inheritance from you. We thank you for everything going according to your perfect plan, that nothing can stop your will from coming to pass, that what you purpose will happen. We speak blessing. We speak fertility, fruitfulness on every level. Be fruitful and multiply and have numerous children for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Kelly, we look forward to hearing from you again, maybe even in a few months, with the first good news. Yeah, God's faithful. We ask him to do what we cannot do, and he delights to do it. 866-348-7884. We come back. I'm going to talk about some of the lessons Jesus has given us in prayer.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are focusing once again on prayer. Focused on it last week, but didn't take any calls. We're focusing on it again today. This time taking your calls, 866-348-7884. As we talked yesterday about the need for revival and awakening in America, as we talked about, will revival come without persecution? Let me make this plain. Even with persecution, persecution does not guarantee revival. Persecution does not bring about revival. Often persecution brings about awakening because believers are quickened to the reality of we're passing through this world. We're in a hostile world, and it pushes them to seek the face of God and to stand up for what is right. But ultimately, God must send his Spirit, and he responds to prayer. He responds to prayer. We have no greater weapon than prayer. We have no greater asset than prayer. We have no greater ally than prayer. What stops us from praying when the promises are so real and so true? 866-348-7884. Nancy and I were talking about this, and it was a fascinating thought that she had. We've actually talked about it a couple of times since. So let me get into her thought by asking this question. Do you think Jesus ever prayed in a half-hearted way? Do you think Jesus ever prayed in a half-hearted way? Well, obviously not. To pray in a half-hearted way would have been sin. It would have been failing to love his Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't mean he always prayed with intensity, and Hebrews 5 tells us he prayed with loud cries and tears. I don't mean he prayed like that all the time, but he didn't pray the way I will sometimes. I'll be praying and talking to the Lord, and then as I'm praying, it reminds me of something, and next thing I'm on my knees, but I've got the computer, you know, my laptop in front of me, and I'm now responding to an email I forget to respond to. And it's not as I'm praying, Lord, I know this is important, I'll answer this email because I need to. No, it's a matter of I got distracted. There was a man who laid out some rules for prayer. Was it Moody Stewart? Was that the... I'll find the name again. I quote him in my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God. But he had three rules for prayer. And the first rule was to pray until you pray. Oh. Yes, pray until you pray. And then the second rule was pray until you're conscious of being heard. And then the third was pray until you're sure of having the petition you desire, to paraphrase that last one a bit. Pray until you pray. And I remember being struck by that many times. Whoa, I have prayed an hour, but hardly prayed a minute. Pray until you pray. So we know Jesus, when he prayed, really prayed. He communed with his Father. He focused on his Father. And when there were times of great urgency and need, he obviously prayed with great urgency. And here's what it says in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he prays, right? And you know he's praying out of a heart, a poured out heart dependent on his Father. So what happens? He prays, and disciples are falling asleep. And then it says he prayed again more earnestly. And Nancy made this point to me. She often has such amazing insight in the scripture. She said, did you ever think about him praying even more earnestly? In other words, he prayed earnestly the first time. He prayed with passion the first time. And yet, there was a further gear he found. There was a deeper place he found. And often, that's what it's waiting for. That's what prayer is waiting for. That's what has to happen. That I get to that point where the desperation moves me to another place, where the desperation moves me beyond where I've been, where the need of the hour, the pressure is so great, the impossibility of the situation is so intense that my only alternative is to say, oh, God, with such earnestness and such focus that the answer comes supernaturally. He prayed more earnestly. Sometimes, friends, the truth be told, we pray, but we don't pray. We pray without focus. We pray with our minds wandering in 100 different directions. Could you do your job like that? Could you pass a school test like that? Here, if I was on TV, let's say I'm a TV anchorman, all right? And I am doing the TV news and the camera's on me and my mind is all over the place. Looking around, I'm going to last about a minute before they find me another job. And it'll be a matter of seconds before everybody looking says, what's with this guy? Nancy and I went to a ball game where our grandson Andrew was playing. Yes, his team won. Yes, he did very well at the plate. Yes, he pitched an inning in relief and struck out the sides. And he's the smallest kid on his team, red hair, freckles, which makes it all the more cute. Well, we were noticing that not everybody, not all the kids out there, you know, they're 9, 10-year-olds, I guess, they're not all as focused. And he's learned to focus. And his mom and dad have told him, okay, you get, you know, when you're in the field, the outfield, infield, you get, you know, in your, you know, crouch down and looking and focus and maybe pound your glove. So he's doing it. You know, he's totally focused. And I leaned over to Nancy and our daughter Meg and I said, hey, look at the kid playing another base. And he was just kind of, oh, looking all around. Cute kid, but he's just 9 years old. And then the next inning, Meg just nudged us, like, look out in right field. It's the other team, just look out in right field. And there the kid, he's just looking all around. He's kind of kicking the grass. He's looking to the side. I mean, if the ball was hit his way, unless everyone started yelling, he wouldn't have even seen it. He wasn't even looking at the plate. Friends, that's the way some of us pray. What kind of answers do we expect? Focus. Focus. That's why sometimes you get alone, shut the door, shut off the phone, close the computer, do whatever you need to do, no distraction, close the blinds if you have to, and take hold of God. All right, something else that'll ignite you, something else that'll stir you, something else that'll push you, that'll deepen you, that'll challenge you. My book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, I want to get this into every hand of every person listening right now, or to the hands of everyone listening, I should say that. You don't need one for each hand. The book Revolution, The Call of Holy War, which will show you the Jesus way to change the world, and with it, a simple 5x7 card that gives the 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary, starting with spending quality time with God. You put this in the Revolution book or in your Bible on a daily basis. Simple steps to follow. They're yours for your gift of any size. 1-800-278-9978. We need as many of you as possible to stand with us. We'd love to send this out to every one of you. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a question for you. Do you believe God is a prayer-answering God? Well, most everyone listening, if you know the Lord, you say, yeah, I believe that. Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know the Lord, you say, yeah, I do. Do you believe he's given us many great promises, invitations to pray? I think you say, yeah. The question is, why don't we? What hinders us from prayer? What stops us from praying? Building on the call to prayer from last week, I am continuing this week talking to you about prevailing in prayer, pressing through in prayer, praying through and overcoming hindrances and obstacles from prayer. 866-348-7884. Now, we've got an awesome staff here, an awesome team at Ask Dr. Brown. We've got an amazing group of people, and they are going for it, and their hearts burn with the same burden for revolution, Jesus revolution, revival, that my heart burns with. So as I'm talking about a subject on the air, they're often interacting with me as they listen to the broadcast in the midst of the other work they're doing. So Randy, you get quoted on the air today. Every order that you receive from us or Torchbearers, our monthly supporters, the letters you get, they ultimately go through Randy's hand or under his watchful eye. And Randy says this, there are 1,000 reasons. This is a new quote from Randy for as of today. It's got the date on it. Randy Sarison, 5/14/13. There are 1,000 reasons that keep us from prayer. Those 1,000 reasons are the very same reasons for why we must pray. I agree with that, Randy. Now, the question is, what are we going to do about it? Listen to this. Listen to this. A Scandinavian leader, Otto Halsby, he said this. I believe his first name was Otto. His last name was Halsby. That I know. Begin to realize more and more that prayer is the most important thing you do. You can use your time to no better advantage than to pray whenever you have an opportunity to do so, either while alone or with others, while at work, while at rest, while walking down the street, anywhere. You know, sometimes we're looking for the perfect moment to pray. All right, when the kids go to sleep, all right, when I finish sending out this last email or doing this report for business, or, okay, just got this one, I got to take care of, we got a leak, I've got to fix that. Then, I mean, there are always things that need attention. The baby is crying, the boss is calling, the situations are there, and they're very real. But sometimes we look for that ideal moment to pray, and over the course of a day, it doesn't seem to come. Well, what about the 100 or 1,000 little moments that are there? What about in the midst of working on that leak, or in the midst of changing that diaper, or in the midst of answering an email, you hit the send button to stop and just pray, Lord, work, God, move, God, draw my heart in. Yeah, we need those times of quality time alone with God. But then there is that aspect, is that the psalmist said of himself in Hebrew, Ani Tefillah, which is literally, I am prayer, or I am a prayer. And the picture you get is my whole life is one continuous prayer. That I'm constantly just lifting up this burden, this request, this need. I'm constantly giving it over, giving it over, giving it. It's just on my mind. Do you have time to worry? One of my friends asked this many years ago. Do you have time to worry? Then you have time to pray. Ah, let's turn the worry into prayer. Do you have a favorite prayer promise? Let's hear it. 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, the promises of God regarding prayer. You know, D.L. Moody said, next to the wonder of seeing the Savior's face, what will be the wonder of unused prayers, to paraphrase, the wonder of, I could have prayed and God would have answered. All this was available. All the promises, all the things God wanted to do to vindicate his name. A lot of the praying we should do is praying that Jesus will be glorified, praying that people will know who the one true God is. If we pray, friends, God will answer. We may have to persist. We may have to break through unbelief. We may have to overcome laziness. We may have to put aside past failures. But he's faithful. As surely as the sun rises, our God will appear. 866-348-7884. Peter writes this, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Notice, by his own glory and excellence, he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. And it is these promises by which we make an impact, these promises by which we change the world. 866-348-7884. Before I go back to the phones, let me tell you about something that has been effective in my life. In fact, I'm a little ashamed to say this. I did this for a season a few years ago, and it was wonderfully rich and wonderfully real. And then I shared it from the pulpit and said, this is a pattern I've been using in prayer in my own life, and I found it very effective. And shortly after that, I stopped doing it. It's almost as if God wanted me to just keep that as between the two of us. I can't say for sure, but now I'm exhorting myself to do this again. And it's so simple. Some of you prayed like this for years, but it was not something that I did as regularly. Okay, the pattern of the Lord's Prayer, the words that he gave us. Now, obviously, if we know he prayed all night at times and he got up early and prayed and the disciples see him praying, he wasn't just praying a few sentence prayer a few times a day and that was it. But the pattern that he gave us, the so-called Lord's Prayer, I say so-called because his own prayer, his priestly prayer is John 17, but the pattern of prayer that he gave us, the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, begins with a prayer for the hallowing of God's name, right? Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. And you don't have to pray it in a religious way, our Father who art in heaven. I mean, if that's how you pray it, fine, if that's what your voice is, but just be yourself. Be reverent before God, but be yourself. Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. May your name be made holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I would pray that prayer, that opening line, in an expansive way. And I would begin to pray for it in many, many different situations. Maybe I was specially burdened for my Jewish people. And I would pray for the hallowing of God's name among my Jewish people, that they would recognize who Yeshua was. They would recognize Yeshua as Lord and King and Messiah. I'd pray for it with our missionaries around the world. I pray for the hallowing of God's name in our own family, our own household. I pray for it in my own life, that Jesus would be mightily exalted in me and through me. And I pray, Lord, your will be done. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray through all of our ministry work, Lord, your will be done at Fire School of Ministry. Lord, your will be done at Fire Church. Lord, your kingdom come to our fire missionaries. Lord, your will be done in Line of Fire radio broadcaster. And I pray it in detail. What I would do is I'd get my mind and my heart looking up to how glorious and amazing and incredible God is, how majestic and awesome he is. And then from that perspective, pray, okay, now may that be infused in us. May that be infused through us. And you see, the greatness of our calling is not because we are great. The greatness of our calling is not because our circumstances are great. The greatness of our calling is because God is great. So we pray prayers accordingly. Maybe you are an auto mechanic. You get your hands dirty every day. Maybe you work in a nursery and all day long you are caring for other people's babies and changing dirty diapers. Maybe you are a clerk in an unknown tax firm in the other side of town, filing papers and entering data into the computer. Maybe you are in a megachurch serving what seems to be on the lowest rung of service there, and you are the one that has to go around the building and make sure that the bathrooms are clean. And none of these things in themselves sound big. But when you say, Lord, may your name be hallowed in my life. May the name of Jesus be exalted in my life. May the world see and know that you are God, that Yahweh, you alone are God through my life. Lord, your kingdom come in power right where I live, right where I serve, right where I breathe and act. Lord, your will be done in me as it is in heaven. And then you expand from that and you pray for everything around you. Suddenly, everything's infused with greater meaning. Suddenly, everything's infused with greater purpose. Suddenly, everything's infused with greater destiny because it's about him and it's about his greatness. And then as you pray through the Lord's Prayer, yeah, we got needs. Lord, my back is really hurting today, and it's just difficult for me to run my race and help others when I'm in so much pain. Lord, heal me. And if there's something practical I can do to bring relief, show me. Lord, we're just so burdened down. You know, our son, he's not right with you. He's in rebellion. Lord, it looks like he's going to get himself hurt and in trouble. Lord, we know how to do. Help us to be the best parents we can, but we're asking you to intervene. We're asking you to help. And you begin to pour your heart out to him. Every request is important. Every need is important. And God loves to reach down, to stoop down, to touch us where we are, and to lift us into his presence and to be glorified as God in the midst of our circumstances. Let's go to the phones. Paul in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I really enjoy your show, so thank you for taking my call. And I appreciate this topic especially. I am a lifelong Catholic, and I have a good friend of mine who is Jewish. She lost her 31-year-old son, was murdered just 2 days before Mother's Day a year ago. And over the past year, I've communicated with her via email and tried to comfort her as best I can and encourage her. And just several weeks ago, and I always kind of conclude my emails by saying, I just want you to know that I'm continuing to pray for you and your family. And several weeks ago, she wrote me back immediately after I sent an email saying, you know, thank you for your thoughts, but just so that you're aware that I have no belief at all in prayer. And I wasn't really sure how to respond to that. So I'm kind of looking for some suggestions.
Well, basically, we who are connected to the Lord have to be the one to bear the burden. We get the reports of tragedy. We get the reports of hopelessness. We get the reports of suicide and sickness and terrible things, as you've related here. And we have to be the ones to pray in faith. In other words, it says in James, Jacob, the 5th chapter, that if there's anyone sick among you, let him call for the elders of the congregation and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. The key thing there is that it's the prayer offered in faith by the elders, not by that sick person. The same way the account of the paralytic who's healed is recounted in Matthew 9, Mark 2, and Luke 5, that Jesus sees their faith. His friends, when they can't get to the house because it's surrounded, climb through the roof and open up the roof and lay him down in their midst. And the scripture says, Jesus, seeing their faith, said to him, your sins are forgiven. So where others don't have faith, where others don't believe in the power of prayer, you pray, you cry out to the Lord, you look to God, and based on that, he will answer. And then others will learn, wow, God is real. Take it on yourself to have faith for those who don't.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me encourage you, friends, to visit our completely revamped website, AskDrBrown.org. But in particular, I want to encourage you to go there today. When you go there, click on the latest video, and you'll see a behind-the-scenes tour of our new building we just moved into, our new offices, and for the first time ever, we've got a video clip of me broadcasting live. It's from yesterday's show. Short video. You will enjoy it thoroughly. So go to AskDrBrown.org and click right there on the latest video. Boom, it's right in front of your eyes. Then you'll hear in the midst of it some little voices, a three-year-old boy introducing the show, adorable voice. After you watch that, go and click on the latest blog post. Do that today, and you'll see the picture of the young listeners and how this mom listens with her kids, how they've grown up listening to the broadcast. You'll see the picture. You'll hear their voices. You can click on an audio link for that as well. All right, so do that. Click on the latest article. The one we just posted is called Not Everyone Rejoices When a Jewish Soul is Saved. You'll want to read that. And if you want to catch up on recent broadcasts, and then we're going to be having audio highlights from different shows. We may compile a few of the best calls in the week, best interview, best segments I've had, and every day we'll be putting up new audio files or articles or blogs or videos. So just make it your habit once a day at least to visit AskDrBrown.org and just click on what you want to watch or listen to or read, and you'll be enriched right there on the website, AskDrBrown.org. If you don't get our email, just click on the email logo. If you want to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, click on that. All right. 866-348-7884. As we have been focusing on prayer, just a few more quotes to encourage you, building on last week's call to prayer. F.B. Meyer, great Bible expositor, said this: the great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Isn't that true? Here, for every, let's think of this, all right? For every prayer that has not been answered in my life, every prayer that I've prayed that has not been answered by my Father, whether I was praying according to the will of God, right, and that's why it should have been answered, but hasn't been yet. Or I was not praying according to the will of God. Or I wasn't praying in faith. But let's just say, we'll come up with a completely hypothetical number. Let's say there were 20,000 different prayers. Many of them prayed the same, you know, many, many different times. Let's just say, hypothetically, it could be 20 million, it could be 200, but just hypothetically, use that number. 20,000 prayers that were not answered. There are probably 20 million prayers that were never offered. 20 million prayers I could have prayed that I failed to pray, that I should have prayed and didn't pray. God is offering his eternal resources. Everything we need is found in him. And he doesn't say so much seek the answers as he says seek me. That should be the first and foremost reason we pray, to spend time with God. Some of you say, I don't know how to spend time with God. Well, talk to him about it. What do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. Get alone, or while you're driving your car, have a talk with him and say, God, I don't know how to spend time with you. I don't know how to relate to you. I mean, I know how to relate to my spouse or my family or friend or coworker. I don't know how to relate to you. Just talk to him. Tell him about it. You know, I remember well a dear brother who, he's got to be pushing 90 if he's still here with us. He would tell this story with such passion. Every so often he'd share his testimony. He was a believer, but he struggled mightily with smoking cigarettes, and he desperately wanted to quit smoking cigarettes. He desperately wanted to quit. And he told the Lord, he said, all right, I want you to get in the car with me at this particular block, and I just want you to ride with me until this particular block, and then you can leave. It was as if Jesus physically got in the car with him. I love the way he would tell the story. He just said, look, I got to stop smoking. I can't stop smoking cigarettes. I've had this habit. I want to stop. I believe it's wrong. It's a filthy habit. I want to stop. And Jesus, he poured his gut and soul out to the Lord as they drove together in the car, as if Jesus was physically sitting there and said, okay, thank you. You can get out of the car now. And he was delivered from that moment on. I'd hear him tell it probably every few years, but it was always a classic when he'd get up in church and tell the story. He'd get red in the face. He was so emotional about it. And what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Spend time with him. Pour your heart out to him. John Bunyan said the best prayers have often more groans than words. Martin Luther said, the less I pray, the harder it gets. The more I pray, the better it gets. One of the brothers in the church in which I got saved used to say, when I pray, coincidences happen. The promises are there. Our great God is there. I want to encourage you to pray. Pray as you're driving home today. Pray as you're walking down the street. Pray in the midst of your busy household responsibilities. Pray when you get up. Pray before you fall asleep. Pray when you're taking a shower. Pray when you're riding on the elevator, and then find times to get alone and meet with God and pray. If it's 2 minutes, let it be 2 minutes. If it can be 2 hours, let it be 2 hours. But lock in time, meet with him, and then build on that until you begin to see God move mightily. Friends, we need to pray. We need to act. I want to get in your hands a manual of action, a book that will stir you, a book that has stirred literally tens of thousands. It's Revolution, the call to holy war. The holy war that Jesus calls us to is not one like this world fights, not with hatred, anger, but with love, with sacrifice, with goodness, with kindness, with the power of the Spirit, with prayer. This book will rock your world, and we have now printed up a 5x7 card, simple 5x7 card, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. So simple. Work on one a day for a period of weeks, months, add the next one. Practical, simple, every one of us can live these out. A 5x7 card to put in your Bible or in your Revolution book, and we'll send these resources out to you for your gift of any size. Be as generous as you can, but please let us send these out to you for your gift of any size. Truly, you'll find them to be life-impacting, life-changing, and helping to make you a world changer. Call this number now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. 9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the Word of God urges us and encourages us to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing to a God who never stops listening and never stops answering.